I have on the phone with me Mr. Derek Warfield of the Young Wolftones, along with the legendary Wolftones, the original Wolftones, but carrying that tradition on with the Young Wolftones. Derek and the Young Wolftones will be here at the Kansas City Irish Center on Friday, February 15th. And I'm thrilled to welcome Derek Warfield back to our airwaves. How are you, sir?
I am pretty good, Mike. And how are you?
Oh, pretty good. It's been a crazy day here, but I'm glad to be able to talk to you.
So am I. As you probably know, I've a long and very, very close association with Kansas. So I'm always delighted to speak here to the community there, to the radio.
Well, that's great. You know, I was looking, and last year our interview aired, it was last February, and it was on Valentine's Day. And I went back and listened to it, so I wouldn't be asking you the same questions again, like certain other Mike Murphys.
Well, Mike did that all the time, that's true, yeah. But he was a great guy to interview and to talk to. He always made the conversation as if it was the first time he ever asked you that question.
That's right. But I do, one thing that I was reminded about, could you remind our listeners, since we're so close to St. Valentine's Day, about the connection between St. Valentine and Ireland?
Yeah, I think we talked about that last time, yeah. You know, the St. Valentine's relics are in Dublin. And it always intrigued me when I was a young man, a young boy. My mother always went down to the shrine, which is located in the center of Dublin, in the Carmelite Church. And there's a shrine with all his relics, and his remains are there. And they were brought. I did a few inquiries since I last talked to you last year, and they were brought there by a Catholic priest back in the 19th century. And he went to Rome, and he asked the Pope for something remarkable to bring the people to prayer in Dublin, and he said, "Well, you can have St. Valentine," and so I always rib a lot of Italian people that don't ask me how an Italian saint ended up in Dublin City, but that's where he is, and it's a place of veneration for a lot of people, and that's been the case for years. Because I remember when I was a teenager, a lot of couples used to go there before they got married. And a lot of people that were spinsters and that were bachelors, they would also go to an novena there to meet somebody. So it was there was a lot more to the shrine than just simple shrine to St. Valentine. But it's an extraordinary place, really, and of course, now today, there's always somebody there now. It's become an established place on a tour of Dublin, and particularly on a spiritual tour of the city.
So you grew up in Dublin?
Oh, I did. I grew up in Dublin, and I grew up in the city. And you know, when I grew up in Dublin, it was a large village, really, because in Dublin, the Dublin of the 50s and 60s was a very, very tight-knit community. Today, it's a very cosmopolitan city. There's people from all over Europe and all over the world that live there. But in my time, it was very insular and very, very... everybody knew everybody else, and, you know, it was a very settled society and very cohesive society, and that's changed, sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad.
How do you think Dublin has improved since those days?
Well, I think in terms of employment, that's probably the first thing that's improved greatly. Opportunity for young people. There's a lot of high-tech multinational businesses that are set up in Dublin. And like, there's a very young population, and not just from Dublin, from Ireland, but from all over Europe. So that's been one of the great successes of the city, that it's become really a hub for the high tech industries, and also I think generally speaking, like in Ireland, there's the opportunities that are there now for young people. They weren't there like when I was growing up after the Second World War in the 50s and 60s. There was very little opportunity in the country. If you wanted to progress and if you were enterprising, you knew you have to leave. But today there's a lot of opportunity. That comes with a price, because as you probably know, when like any developed society, you know, it brings a lot of problems of people that don't like to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's you get nothing in this life, I don't think, without paying for it in some way. But the thing that I like most about my city, about the Dublin, is that it still has retained a lot of the character of the city, a lot of the traditions, and that's largely through to bands like ourselves and other people that value the heritage and have been very, very vocal in preserving it. So from that aspect, you know, that's always been to the foremost in my mind, to keep alive the very important culture and traditions that we have in the city.
So if a lot of those opportunities had the economic opportunities that are here today were there in your time, they might not have been a Wolftones, right? You might have been a corporate wizard or something.
Yeah, absolutely on the button there, on the money, because, Mike, that's very true. I think if you look back, and I often talk to the old Mike Murphy, God rest him, about this, you know, we wouldn't have had Brendan Behan in the 50s if there hadn't been the opportunities, because people had time for conversation, people had time for new ideas, there was an opening night of a play or a stage show in Dublin was an event that the whole city knew about, and was generally never went off indeed without some sort of controversy. So from that aspect, the literary part of Dublin and the creative part of Dublin probably has suffered a lot because of the development of young people away from the arts and into what I would call, you know, the high-tech industries and into, you know, secure jobs. But also, I think there's one aspect that has improved greatly, and that is the opportunity for young people to get musical instruction. That's improved enormously. So you find that the standard of musicianship in Ireland now is so much better than from, like, going back in the 40s, 50s. I mean, there's no comparison today. There's tremendous young people playing music and you know. So I think things have balanced out. And by and large, when you put everything into the pot, you know, the progression has been good for the country and good for the city.
Interesting. So, and so Dublin certainly has a great literary history. And, of course, James Joyce set his novel Ulysses in Dublin, and often bragged that if Dublin were ever burned to the ground, that you could reconstruct it based on what you read in Joyce's book. Were you, growing up in Dublin, were you conscious of that legacy? Or, you know, was James Joyce was underground, or what?
Yeah, I think there was a, you know, there's a fascination with Irish people with language, and I think the transition from the Gaelic language into the English language, I think there was a determination by a lot of Irish people to to express themselves in the English language. And this resulted in a lot of very creative authors like James Joyce. And really, I always say that like Joyce was probably the Houdini of the English language, and Oscar Wilde was another musician, a magician who, you know, they tied with it. They expressed it in a way that was Gaelic, literally translating the mind that they had, the Irish mind, into the English language. You know, I often think that I grew up with a lot of people in Dublin that expressed themselves so profoundly and so clearly in terms that, but what they were doing really was they were thinking in Irish and expressing it in English, it's, you know, it led to a very, if you like, Hiberno English, very different to the English that's spoken like in England or in America. And also I think there were a lot of people in Dublin that were really coming to terms at learning the English language, so the words would be reinvented. And I think that's where Joyce got all his reinvented words from, that he must have been listening to the bus when I was traveling from to work in the morning, listening to the people talking, and they would be speaking words that they really didn't understand the meaning, but they used them.
Right.
And I often laughed over my own mother would hear words that she wouldn't be quite sure what way they should be used, but she used them anyway to impress people. And I think that was a characteristic that was widespread in Dublin.
That's interesting. I'm curious about how the original Wolf Tones got together. Did you guys go to school together? How did you?
Yeah, we grew up together in the city. My brother and myself and Noel Nagel, and I heard Tommy sing in at a flag hill back in 1964, and I went to his house and asked him to join the band. And that was really the start of the Wolf Tones. It was together for 38 years. I think it was probably a union of minds. And we expressed in Ireland that through music, and our songs reflected all the things that were around us. I think it was. And I still do believe that it's probably we changed the face of music in Ireland in terms of not only bringing back the past through music, but also commenting and singing about our present social and political situation in Ireland. I think that was very important for us, and I still do that through the Young Wolf Tones today. And I think we're. I always remember when I first came to Kansas, when the Sheehan's girls brought us to Kansas back in 1988, I think it was.
Oh wow!
The one thing that I remember most was that they loved the fact that we were singing about the Ireland of today as well as the Ireland of indeed the past, and I'm always grateful for the audience that was created for our band. Like, this is my 30th year to perform in Kansas coming up.
Wow.
And that's there's not too many cities around the world that have done that over the years. And I think in many ways, I always look at Kansas as it's like a mini Ireland, because there were so many great people in that city when I went there in the 80s, like Mike Murphy, that were determined to shine the light on Irish heritage. And I was very fortunate to be there at that particular time. I mean, I always remember Tom Moore, Pete McCluskey. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a vision for to give a value to Irish traditions and heritage that had been brought from Ireland. And they succeeded, which is it was an enormous challenge at that time. They succeeded in giving it a value, highlighting it, and giving an audience for every conceivable genre of Irish music that comes from Ireland. It was a wonderful achievement, and you also know, Mike, that it also was responsible for breeding, Ian Bourne's band,
The Elders,
the wonderful band that he created,
The Elders.
Oh, The Elders, yeah. I mean, that, you know, that was spawned out of the vision of Mike Murphy. And I don't remember all the names of the people that were involved in the area, but I know Pete was there, Pete McCluskey. But they seen that there was no value being placed on Irish tradition, and they wanted to give it a value, and they did it in such a great way.
Well, there certainly is, like, I would call it an Irish renaissance here in Kansas City, between the Kansas City Irish Center and the one of the biggest St. Patrick's Day parades in the country, and, of course, the Kansas City Irish Fest on Labor Day weekend. So there's a lot going on, and there's sessions, Irish music sessions being played all throughout the city, and both, you know, and in Lawrence as well. And it seems like there's a real appreciation of the culture now, and a real renaissance. It's probably at its as more popular now than it's ever been. And it is a fantastic thing. And so it's because we have this Irish Center that we don't have to wait for the annual Irish Fest to bring Derek Warfield and the Young Wolf Tones here. There's always a place here to bring artists such as yourself from Ireland, or people performing Irish music here in this country. So tell us about the Young Wolf Tones. Who's in that band, and how do you get them together?
Well, you know, when the old band broke up back in 2002, I tied with the idea of starting a new band, a young band, and a lot of young people gravitated to the band, and I found myself playing with young people that were half my age, and it just was a natural progression to call it the Young Wolf Tones, because I felt that they had something of value to pass on to the younger generation, and I've had about 20 young men and women play it with the Young Wolf Tones now since I first joined the band in 2004. And it's been really, for me, a very rewarding experience to see the appreciation and development of people's value and response to the songs and music that I've loved and played all my life. And a lot of these young people have come from backgrounds that wouldn't have had the tradition that I had growing up in Dublin of value on Irish heritage and language. And I felt that I've given a lot of young people something worthwhile. And that's been the real reward for me. And particularly traveling around as we do over the next 2 months. We open, incidentally, our first show on our tour is Kansas this year.
Great.
On the Friday night, that's our first show. And, you know, I can feel the excitement in I have two young lads that are in the band, and the youngest lad is 23 years of age. And
wow.
He can't wait to get back to Kansas because he was there last year. And, there's an excitement in every venue that we play for them, and I think that gives me, if you like, it gives me it generates my enthusiasm, because you know I've been there before, but to watch their enthusiasm and the satisfaction and at the response they get. That keeps me going, I think, over the years. And it's very difficult to explain, but I'm watching reactions that I I gave myself like 30 or 40 years ago when we do, you know, exceptional shows, which we have done over the last year. And, you know, but the standard of musicianship, all of it. I mean, Damaris, that plays banjo with me, she's a teacher, and she's taught hundreds of young boys and girls to play Irish traditional music. And she's been with the band over the last 12 years. And I have a young lad, Kieran. He's from Offaly. He's 23 years of age. I have a lad from Tyrone. A great singer, Gary Gormley. And I have, you know, between them all, they could probably do a show on their own. But the wonderful thing is that they gel together as a unit, and we look forward to indeed every show. And then.
Well, that's terrific, and it seems like you guys. I follow your exploits on Facebook, especially since we talked last year. And it seems like you do a lot of shows. You tour a lot.
Yeah, we're doing 30 shows on this tour. We're going on a cruise next week, and that's one of the reasons I couldn't talk to you next week. Where we'll be in the Caribbean, and we'll play on the cruise, and. Then, like the night after we play with you in Kansas, and the night after we're playing in Cincinnati, so we'd be playing almost every night, and until about a week after St. Patrick's Day.
Wow! So this is the busy time of year. So a lot of people are thinking more about Irish culture in the time leading up to St. Patrick's Day. Is that right?
That's right. Well, Katie Sheen used to say to me, she said that the Wolf Tones kick off St. Patrick's celebrations. We were always there, and that was the signal for everybody to get out there and wear the green.
That's great. I'm curious, when you're not playing music, what music do you listen to?
Oh, I listen to a lot of Irish music. I like to listen to all types of music. I like classical music. I like folk music of any type. When I done in Argentina last year, I listened to a lot of Argentine music. I have a great appreciation for music, and you could find me listening to anything from and a simple Irish ballad to a great symphony by Tchaikovsky or indeed Dvořák. I like to listen to music, yeah, and generally do when I'm traveling. But then I also like to create, or I still write songs, and so music is never far from my daily intake of life.
And do you get to catch any music live when you're out and about, or you're too busy focusing on your own music?
Live music, I always like to hear live music, and if I'm time off, I'll go to concerts, and I do go to concerts regularly, and also, like, I go to a lot of workshops to encourage young people in Ireland with Damaris, and we go and we see talent, and when we see talent, we know we can open doors for those people, and we've done that over the last 20 years. And that's, you know, I brought a lot of young people out to America here to perform, and they all have very good careers here. Many of my young Wolf Tones have met young ladies and married them here, and they started their own band. so that's a progression that I seen happen so many times, you know. But America, of course, is a wonderful place for young people to realize their dreams and ambitions. And I think it's fair to say that it's been an opportunity. It's given opportunity to so many Irish people in entertainment. You know, I think Ian Ebone could echo those words in terms of success that he's given with the great band that he founded.
We talked earlier about how much Dublin has changed over the years. Whenever you're in Dublin, is there anything you recognize that is still the same from your youth? Or is it unrecognizable?
Well, a lot of things have changed. I think the habits of Dublin people drinking, that's changed quite considerably, because people can't thrive now with any alcohol intake. So a lot of pubs and clubs that would have been literally meeting houses have faded away.
Wow.
For that reason, the whole of Ireland's traditions are always in a constant state of change, you know. Mm. But the heritage is so powerful that it's able to absorb these changes. I think that's the wonderful thing about Irish music and song, and it doesn't depend on its place in Ireland. It's just as strong now in Australia as it is in Kansas, as it is in Ireland. As you rightly pointed out, there's a very, very strong appreciation for Irish music and song all over the world now. And I think people recognize its value as an international musical medium that has a lot to say in every way.
So again, you're going to be here on Friday night, February 15th, at the Kansas City Irish Center.
And the tickets are available on our website. You go to the Young Wolf Tones, the tickets are available, and they're also available at the Kansas Irish Center. And we look forward to it very much. It was a great night last year, and the band can't wait to get back.
Welcome back to Kansas City. Hopefully the weather will be cooperative for you, and because you never know this time of year, but welcome back.
Thank you very much indeed, Mike, and it's a pleasure talking to you, and thanks to all my great friends in Kansas, and the memory of those who passed on, and we were so, indeed, such great fans. I always remember Tom Moore. He was the community poet from Kansas, and his great poems that he wrote. He's such a great talent, and all of the people that made us always feel so welcome there in the city. If I start mentioning names, I'm going to leave other names out.
Yeah.
But I would like to thank them all for making the Wolf Tones and the Young Wolf Tones indeed so welcome year after year. Thanks.